Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you, as we have this pioneering heart, to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
I'm not sure how long I'm going to be this morning. I'm normally short and sweet. But if I run over time, is that okay? Yeah, okay, that's cool. So I've got your permission, eh? So I can see who's napping, who isn't. Yeah, I can watch you from here. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word, that I have an opportunity to share your word with the family this morning. And Father, my heart and my prayer is that as I share your word, as I release your word, that it wouldn't bounce off, but Father, that it would find its mark. And Father, that it would reach deep into every heart here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Sure. I was getting worried there just now for a sec. I thought the Lord wanted to do something else. Yeah, that's very stressful. But God is good. God is good. So I've titled my message this morning. Well, not my message. I just feel the Lord wants me to share it with you. And that's the ordinary for the extraordinary. Yeah, the ordinary for the extraordinary. We are all ordinary people, but God is calling us to do extraordinary things for him. Why? Because he is an amazing and an extraordinary Father, an extraordinary God. Amen. And he wants us to follow him into those things. Amen? Yeah. He anoints us and he equips us to do and to complete what he's asking us and calling us to do. But I want to backtrack quickly a little bit before we get into that. And I just want to have a quick look at faith. And I know in my early years as a young Christian, if I can call it that, we were with a church in Brakpan, and our pastor was Ronnie, and he drummed it into us, faith, faith, faith. And I can remember those years, a lot of the charismatic church taught it was faith. They were teaching faith. And I want to speak to you about that this morning. So we can have faith. I can have faith in this pulpit that it's going to hold my notes. I've got so many here. I've got about 20 pages here. I've got faith in my wife that she's going to cook this awesome meal when I get home from work. I've just got this awesome spread on the table. Yes, the Lord's blessed me with an amazing wife. He really, really has. And I love her. But the faith we're going to look at today, it's not those things. So what is faith. What is it? The faith that we're going to talk about this morning. True faith involves knowing Jesus. Yeah. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, we say, yeah, I know Jesus. I know the Lord. Well, let's see what the word says in James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So, I want to look at it like this. So, he's called us to bear fruit. So, faith involves, I believe, in being consistent. We need to be consistent in our walk. Faith involves consistency. It first starts off with knowing Jesus. Do I know Jesus? And then from there, it moves into a place of consistency. As I'm walking with Jesus, consistency comes. This will manifest and it will reveal itself in our talk, in our walk. Yeah. If my relationship with Jesus is right, in my walk is constant, there's consistency in my walk with Jesus, it's going to show in the way I conduct myself. Is that not right? Yeah. Let me spend half an hour with you. I'll know where you are. Yeah. I'll know if he's, and likewise, if you're spending time with Jesus. I believe that the faith that we're talking about this morning is also trusting in his teachings. Even though at times we don't understand all things, and we don't, but faith is trusting, is to trust Jesus. And then I've often heard people talking about blind faith. You know, heard it? Blind faith. Is there blind faith? I don't believe there is. Faith, it's not blind. I just want to do a quick demo for you. Robbie. Yeah. It's got my wife's scarf here. Yeah. You can't see it?
No, you need faith for
this. Okay, there we go. Rob's off here. Go back to your chair. Enjoy it. Blind faith. Faith is not blind. And I've given you a quick demonstration here of blind faith. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall. You're going to walk into a ditch or a hole. You're going to hurt yourself. But the faith that Jesus has called us to. So Jesus says in his word, draw close to him and I will draw close to you. And he comes alongside us. And sometimes we always can't see, but he speaks to us and he plants something in our heart and we know, and then he leads us. You know, even though we can't see, but he's leading us because he's giving me scripture. I'm spending time with him and I know the leading of, I know his voice and I know, and he starts to lead me. And he starts taking me to where he wants me to be. Thanks, Rob. You can see now. So, I don't believe that faith is blind. I don't believe in blind faith. Faith is not blind. but it sees in other ways. Yeah, it sees in other ways. We're not just blindly following a set of rules or principles, but it's all about following Jesus, the person of Jesus. I want to give you another example. So, and it's an easy one because we all know the story. We all know about Peter in the boat. So Jesus comes walking along the water. And now everybody crooks because they think it's a spook. They think it's a ghost. But Peter calls out, "Lord, if that's you." And Jesus calls out to Peter. And then he says to Peter, "Peter, come." And Peter jumps out the boat. And he walks towards Jesus. But I believe when he heard that it was Jesus, it excited him. It set him up. And that got him going. And he jumped out of the boat. He wanted to be where Jesus was. He wanted to be doing what Jesus was doing. He didn't just want to be, "I'm sitting in the boat. I want to be where my Father is. I want to be where Jesus is." So he jumps out and he goes towards Jesus. Now, I want to look at it like this. So the disciples in the boat. Peter's in the boat. If Jesus wasn't there, what would have happened? And Peter just decided, "I'm going to get out this boat and I'm going to walk in the water." He would have sank. And it's going to get tough sometimes when we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy. Faith is not easy. And Peter's a good demonstration of that. Yes, he was walking on the water and he looked around and there were things going on around him. And he took his eyes off the Lord and started to sink. But you know, the amazing thing, what happens is when we walk in with Jesus and we walk in with him into what he's calling us to, yes, we're going to fall and we're going to hurt ourselves and sometimes it feels like we're sinking. But he's there and he'll say, "Come, my son and my daughter." And he carries on walking with us. But what's the first thing we've got to do? We've got to get out of the boat and we've got to follow Jesus. That initial step is often the hardest. So walking by faith. Our faith should be different from the walk of someone who does not believe or has not been saved by grace. It should be completely different, our walk. From somebody that doesn't know Jesus or somebody that hasn't given the life or the heart to Jesus, our walk should be completely different to theirs. So then why do we do what the world does? And we follow them and we're doing what they're doing. They need to be looking at us. For us, it's about our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We all know that scripture. We all walk by faith and not by sight. To walk by faith, what does it mean? It means to live. That word walk means to live. I live. We live by faith. And God is challenging us to rise above our normal circumstances and experiences where we're operating from a worldly perspective. God wants us to rise above that. He's taking us deeper. Where we're no longer living by sight. We need to conduct our decisions and everything that we're based upon our trust and faith in God and His Word. So how do we get it? How do we get it? This is one of the scriptures that Ronnie drummed into us all those years back. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How does God speak to me? Through his word. Yeah. Where does faith come? Through his word. When I'm spending time with the Lord, my faith gets stronger and stronger and stronger because I'm spending time with him. Spending time with Jesus in prayer and in his word. Where you spend your time, this is where you will tend to lean. Yeah. That's where what you will tend to do or go. So I'm spending all my time and all my energy and my love, everything that I do is for my cycling. That's going to take me away from what Jesus has for me. It's going to rob me of my relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. It can be anything. It can be your career. It can be your business. It can be your house. It can be anything. Yes, those things are not wrong. But when it consumes us, and that is our everything, it's got, my heart's there and my eyes are there. No. My heart and my eyes and everything need to be with my Lord Jesus Christ. We do those things. But Jesus has got me, not that stuff. It's only in my relationship that I'll catch the Father's heart to see where he is at work. So does God require it of us? Yes. Yes. First, it's our foundation of salvation. We are made right with God through faith in Jesus, God's Son. We're not made right by what we do or don't do. The Israelites were used to earning their salvation. We don't earn our salvation. Jesus paid the price for every one of us here. Let's read Ephesians 2:8-9. The scriptures that I'm reading this morning is all from the ESV. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So also we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. So we believe that he lives. We believe that he died for us. We believe that Jesus Christ made the way for us. And it's not through, yeah, it's not through works. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who? Who does he reward? Those who seek him. So what does faith do? Faith moves God to act. Yeah, faith moves God to act. Faith strengthens us during trials. Faith fuels what we do. And our faith can encourage others around us. When I'm walking out in faith and I'm following Jesus, I can become an encouragement to everybody else around me. I want to leave this piece with you so you can chew on it. Do you have it? Do you have it? I've often heard people say, oh, the Lord doesn't speak to me. Yes, he does. He speaks to all of us, every one of us in the room here, even you at home. He speaks to us all. And we don't hear him more often than not just because we're not in the right place to hear. I'm not in the right place to hear Jesus. I'm not spending time in his word. I'm not spending time in prayer. I don't praise and I don't worship him. If I'm not spending time with him, I'm not going to hear him. You can go to someone and you can ask them for a word and then turn and leave. I guarantee you, go 6 months later and let's have a look and see what's happened. I can tell you now, nothing much would have changed. You know, looking with big eyes. Yeah. When God speaks to you through the word, through dreams, through visions, that's powerful. When God speaks, that is powerful. It reaches deep down into the heart, the soul, and mind. It's alive. When God speaks, he engages you. He changes you. He takes you to the next level. I believe he does. He takes you to the next level. When God speaks, he takes you to the next level. When God spoke to people in the Bible, and every time he spoke, something changed. Because there was something that took place deep within the heart. And that motivated them, that gave them the power and the strength, whatever, to do what God was calling them to do. It'll settle you. It brings peace, confidence, and strength to follow Jesus. I'll give you a better picture of it as we go on. Crunch time. So what has God asked you to do? What has he asked us to do? What has he asked me to do? Or have you done? Let's look at it in another way. What are you and I building? What are you and I building? Can we read Haggai 1, verse 4 to 5? Haggai 1, verse 4 to 5. Is it a time for you yourself to dwell in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now, therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. God is calling his bride. He's calling his family. He has much for every one of us here to do. Not to be consumed with our own things. I know Bradley's owned a Land Rover. I think Quinton has. You owned a Land Rover, Quinton? A very short time. So if you've noticed, the Land Rover owners, they've got this big thing on the back spare wheel or on the front, on the doors, whatever. One life, live it. Have you seen it? Yeah? You're going to say yes. I've seen it often when I drive. You have this big thing on this Land Rover. One life, live it. Yeah, I agree with him. Sell the Land Rover. No. And you know, that's the world's motto. You've got one life, live it, party. No, no. So, with your one life, my one life, what am I and what are you wasting this one life on? What are you doing with this one life? You haven't got two, three or four. I know when we die and we leave, we're going to be with Jesus. But you're on earth. I know they say a cat's got nine lives. But we've got one life. What are you doing with that one life? What are you wasting that one life on? When tomorrow's gone, it's gone. I can't go back and dig it up. It's gone. Yeah. We need to be about God's business. Haggai 1, verse 4 to 5. We need to be about God's business. When I'm about God's business, he undertakes for all those things, for all the other things that I'm so worried about and I'm trying to build. We need to be about God's business. And God has called every one of us so differently. I can't be you, and you can't be me. You can't be the person sitting next to you. So in your own way, Jesus calls you. God calls Noah to build the ark. I'm using that story because you all know the story. What does your ark look like? Say again. What does your ark look like? This is an example that I'm using. I'm not saying Jesus has asked you to go and build this boat. Well, it actually wasn't a boat. It was a ship. It was the size of a ship, this thing. What does your ark look like? Have you completed what Jesus asked you to do? Or is your ark in ruins and it's rotted away? Because you started and you just walked off and you forgot about it and you got pulled away by the world. God's been speaking to me a lot about this stuff, about running for him. Has he got me completely? Or are we just touching base here and there? I want to share a story with you. It's about a lady that we know in Clarence, and we've known her for some time now. It's Matt and Sheila. They've got a guest farm resort about 10 kilometers outside of Clarence on the way to Pittsburgh. And Lenny and I, we go there as often as we can. We've been going there for a number of years now, and you can feel something there. You can feel the presence of God there. And then I can remember taking Mal and Bob for the first time. And when we had to leave, our time was up when we had to go, Bob started to cry. He says, "Dad, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I'm crying." It was because God's presence. So Mac and Sheila are people that really, really know the Lord. And the last time that we were there, we spent some time with Sheila. And Sheila was telling us about the dam that is on the property. And it's not a small dam. That dam wall is huge. From the floor to the top of the roof, about three times high. And Matt, the dam hadn't been built then. And Matt woke up one morning and he said to Sheila, "Sheila, The Lord told me I need to build a dam. I need to build a dam here. So Sheila said to Matt, Matt, if God told you to build the dam, then you need to build the dam. Yeah? They never had a cent to put towards it or to pay for this thing. But because God spoke to them, we're going to build a dam. So they got a big construction company in with all the heavy equipment, and this company got going, and they started building this big, big dam on their property from the one side of the mountain to the other to fill it all in so that the water could fill this dam up. They've got natural flowing water that comes through from the mountains, and it runs through their farm. And about a week before completion, they still never had any money to pay for this thing. Yeah, wow. I would have chewed all my nails off by then. A gentleman drives onto their property with a bucky, and he says to them, I want to buy all your aggregates. He says, but we don't have aggregate. Yeah, all that stuff lying there. I've got a contract from government to build a road here in Clarence, and I need your aggregate to go and fill up there. So Matt said to him, no, that's great, take what you need. And they took what they needed, and they carried on. And the construction company that was almost complete came to Matt and says, listen, I come in on Friday and I want my money. I want my check. Sure. They still never had any money. That morning, the same gentleman that came on his bucket to come and buy the aggregate, they never discussed price, nothing. They drove onto the farm and he said, Matt, I've got your money, and he gave Matt the check. And the amount was 5 rand more than what they needed to pay for the dam wall. Yeah. So when God asks you to do something, you know, we're always trying to work it out. We try to bring our own strengths and our own abilities into it. But when God asks you to do something, and you know it's God, and He confirms it in His Word, you step out. And what happens when you take this step out? He supports you. And you take the next step, and He supports you. And you end up going like with Matt and Sheila. God spoke, and He provided for them. When God speaks, He provides. I want to give you another story from the Bible, Ananias. I want to read this for you. Let's turn to Acts 9, verse 10 to 19. So this is a story about Saul. And Saul is on his way to Damascus. And while he's on his way to Damascus, he meets the Lord, this big bright light. And the Lord says to Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he falls on the floor, and things happen to Saul. But when he gets up, he can't see. He's now blind. And the people that were with him eventually escort him into Damascus. But lo and behold, in the scriptures here, there's a man in Damascus by the name of Ananias. So let's read what the word says. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man, Ananias, come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go. So here God speaks to Ananias. Ananias, I want you to go to Saul. Now Saul's heard all these horrific stories. How Saul was taking out all Jesus' followers, all the disciples. He thought, Lord, no ways, no ways. I'm going to get my head chopped off. Because he heard all these stories. Then God speaks to him again, and it just settles something in his heart. And he goes and he does what the Lord asked him to do. And it's the same with us often. God speaks, and we're listening to so many other things around us, and it distracts us. Because all other voices that we've heard, don't let everything else, don't put your ear to everyone and anyone. If God has spoken to you, take him at his word, trust him, and step out. Many people came to Matt and Sheila, and they said to you, it's never going to work. It's impossible, it can't work, because the rock formation, the rocks are not right to support that dam. Well, the dam's still standing today, and it's been there many years. If you give your ear to everybody, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, you're not going to follow. You're not going to follow through. Satan will rob you. He will steal from you. Noah's asked to build an ark in the middle of the desert, the size of our ships. And they ridiculed him. Daily they ridiculed this guy. Did he give ear to them? He heard them, but did he give ear to them? No. Because he had a word from God, and that settled him. And he carried on doing what God was asking him to do. It took him 100 years, but he completed it. People will come against you when God speaks to you. When God speaks, Satan will say, ah. And he'll come and he'll try and rob you. Don't run everywhere trying to get confirmation or trying to get somebody to agree with you or whatever. People can influence you in the wrong way. We need to take God at his word. Ananias did. Matt and Sheila did. Noah did. The title of the message is God is calling the ordinary for the extraordinary. Now you could sit and you say, yeah, but I'm ordinary. We all are. We all, when God speaks, at first that initial shock, it's hard. But we've got to trust God in the season. We've got to trust him in the season. God is looking, he's wanting people to walk with him. There was a singer when we were still with Theo, and his name was Tommy Seiden. I don't know if anybody, that's how old I am, I'm just giving my age away here. Anybody heard of Tommy Seiden? Before? A well-known gospel singer in my times, young Christian. And he had a song that always stuck with me. And when I was preparing this, God reminded me of it. And I quickly looked up the words. And I just want to read the words out to you. God uses ordinary people just like you and me, are willing to do as he commands, who will give him all, no matter how small your all may seem to you. Because little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands. Yeah, little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands. So the little that I have, my own abilities, my own strengths, I come, yes, Lord, I'm available. And then he equips. And then I can do. It's about Jesus, and he wants us to be fruit bearers. We go through seasons and times in our lives where it's not easy. Maybe things have happened along the way, and you feel you've lost the way you feel it. It's over, skid over. There's no way God's going to use me anymore. Remember Moses. He murdered an Egyptian, and he runs away for fear. He runs away, and he ends up in the middle of the desert for many, many years. And what does God do? God comes and speaks to him. And he comes back, and he leads a nation out. Yeah. We can run, but we can't hide. There comes a time when God speaks, and he's speaking to us all, every one of us here. Things are lining up. God is wanting to do something really, really amazing in the body of Christ. We need to be ready, and we need to stand upon his word, and we need to be able to say, yes, Lord, here am I. We're in unpredictable times. There's a lot going on around us, a lot of chaos. And we can listen to all that nonsense. We can listen to all of it. And it'll paralyze you. And it'll choke you. But don't look at those things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Philemon 1, verse 5 to 6. Because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So I want you to look at 1 Philemon 1, 5 to 6 like this. So you got your vertical and you got horizontal. So that first part, vertical, is our relationship with Jesus. It's my love for Jesus and his love for me. My relationship with him, vertical. And the horizontal, when I put my hands out, that's my relationship with what God's calling me to the saints, to reach out and to touch. When we've got that right, our relationship is right, the vertical is right, the horizontal is right, God can use us. I'm going to read I'm almost finished. A scripture from Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 8. It's not on the screen, but I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible because it says it in such an awesome, an amazing way. So that's Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 8 in the Message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. I just love this scripture. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure everything out. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. ordinary for the extraordinary. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Take a step of faith and see what God does with you. Take a step of faith and see what God does with you. I'm ready. I'm taking that step of faith. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Amen? Yes, Lord. Here I am. If that's you, put your hands up. It could be that God's maybe called you to minister somebody at work, a family member. Could be anything. But you've just had this fear that you can't do it. Like Ananias. Nope. Pray, Lord. Then God speaks to him again. Take that step of faith and do it. Father, we love you. We love you, Father. I know you said in your word that it's not in might and it's not in strength, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Father, that we would be a people that run supernaturally, that are founded in your word, and are filled with your Spirit. That we are a people that stand strong. That we are a people that have our eyes focused and fixed on you. Speak, Lord. Speak. Father, I pray that even at home, in the homes, in quiet times when we read our word, Father, that you'd speak to us through your word. When we sleep at night, that you'd speak to us in dreams and visions. Lord, your plan is not for us just to sit, but it's to do. It's to do, Father. You said in your word, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. We love you, Jesus, and you are our great shepherd. And you lead us, Father, safely. You lead us right, Lord. And we want to say thank you. We thank you for great opportunities that you have in store for us, Lord. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Dankie mense. Have a blessed week. Be prosperous.